Welcome to the Far and Beyond podcast, hosted by the Contracts and Fiscal Law Department at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School. The podcast where we navigate the ever-shifting landscape of federal procurement and fiscal law. I'm Major Ellie Sewell.
And I'm Major Jason Floyd. Together, we are your co-hosts. For those of us who spent the last decade memorizing where everything was in the old FAR Part 19, this overall feels a bit like someone broke into my office and reorganized all my filing cabinets.
Do you still have filing cabinets?
No, I really don't.
So maybe it should just be all your files on your computer.
Ooh, that's a better analogy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's more than just a reorganization, Jason. The goal of the RFO was to strip out anything that wasn't statutorily required or essential for sound procurement to stop the inefficient use of taxpayer dollars. We moved from small business programs to simply small business.
That's a reduction, like a 33% reduction.
It is. So you no longer have to say programs.
Yeah. So the title change is like the first thing I noticed. But really, there's more to it than just the title changes. The old structure was a lot, right? One was for one subpart was for size standards, another one was for set asides, and then separate subparts for every single socioeconomic program.
Exactly. So the new Part 19 is now organized by the acquisition lifecycle following the rest of the FAR rewrite. They're all the parts are going in that trend.
Nice.
So we have three main buckets now. 19.1 for pre-solicitation, 19.2 for evaluation and award, and 19.3 for post-award.
Yeah, and that makes sense because as a practitioner, I used to have to jump between subparts depending on where I was in the process. But now it seems like I'm just going to stay in a subpart if I'm in that part of the process.
Precisely. So for example, the 8A program is now split up, but selection and offerings are in 19.108, while evaluating and awarding are 19.208, and post-award admin is in 19.303. It's designed to create a single point of reference for each stage of the contract, so it's easier to follow. You just go to the section of where you are in the acquisition process.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so it's not like the 8A program is just in one subpart anymore. I see. Okay.
Yeah. So if you're in the pre-solicitation stage, you just go to that section and you look at all the information for pre-solicitation is right there.
Okay, cool. One thing that hasn't changed though is the rule of two, right, Ellie? We talked about that a little bit on a prior episode, mm-hmm. but that was a big discussion point during the overhaul.
The rule of two is still there. They didn't touch it. The FAR Council kept it for contracts above the simplified acquisition threshold because it's considered essential to sound procurement, even if it's not strictly statutory for those larger amounts. But there is a very important language change at 19.104-1A.
Is this very important change where they changed the word acquisition to contract?
It is, because it aims to resolve that longstanding conflict between GAO and the Court of Federal Claims. By using contract, it clarifies that the Rule of Two is mandatory at the master contract level, but for orders under multiple award contracts, it remains discretionary.
This is interesting. I feel like this is like sounding in Kingdomware from SCOTUS a few years back now. But okay, we'll see how that plays out. Speaking of flexibility, what about all the how-to guidance? I noticed some sections like locating small business sources and determining the NAICS code have vanished.
They haven't vanished. They've just moved to the FAR Companion.
You expect me to read that? Just kidding. Just kidding.
The RFO stripped out non-regulatory content, the best practices, and put them there to support sound procurement without clogging up the regulations. So, for example, the detailed methodology for applying the hub zone 10% price evaluation preference is now in the companion and not bogging down the regulation.
Cool. Well, let's talk about section 19203. It seems like that section was deleted. Why?
It was deemed redundant. So the principle of parity, where there's no order of precedence between 8A, hub zone, service-disabled, veteran-owned small business, and woman-owned small business, is now considered implicit in the rest of the regulations. The council also deleted 19.502-5, insufficient reasons for not setting aside, because those principles are already covered by the mandatory nature of the Rule of Two in the new 19.104.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I can see how that makes sense. What about section 19706, which was responsibilities of the cognizant administrating contracting officer?
Deleted. That actually wasn't statutorily required. though the FAR now focuses on the contracting officer's post-award responsibilities in 19.302-3, including monitoring subcontract reports for anomalies and errors.
All right, well, let's move on to subpart 19.2, which is evaluation and award. This is where we get to talk about fun things like protests and certificates of competency.
Your favorite. So 19.201 is now a one-stop shop for protests and representations. Instead of hunting through separate subparts for hub zone protests versus 8A protests, it's all consolidated right there.
Cool. And the certificate of competency program?
Yes. So that moved from 19.6 to 19.204. And it aligns with the certificate of competency process with a specific point in the acquisition lifecycle where a responsibility determination is actually made.
I did notice that some system names changed in the language throughout these subparts too.
It's a good catch. So the ESRS, the Electronic Subcontracting Reporting System, is now SPR, which stands for Subcontracting Plan Reporting at SAM.gov. And then also any reference to the Dynamic Small Business Search, DSBS, has been updated to the Small Business Search, SBS site.
Well, that's one way to cut down the regulation, just use shorter terms. What about subcontracting plans? They seem to have their own new home in section 19.109 for pre-solicitation and 19.206 for evaluation. Are there any changes to the rules there?
There's a few changes. So for commercial plans, the reporting period was bumped from 30 days to 45 days after the end of the government's fiscal year. Also, there's a new emphasis on good faith efforts. The FAR now lists specific indicators of what constitutes a failure to make a good faith effort, like falsifying records or failing to pay subcontractors on time.
Ah, that's going to be important for our folks when they're looking at liquidated damages, huh?
Yes. And then speaking of damages, the amount is now explicitly defined as the actual dollar amount by which the contractor failed to achieve each subcontracting goal.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So they give us definitive amounts now.
Cool. Let's hit post-award in subpart 19.3. Big changes there?
Huge. So for IDIQ contracts, the overhaul removed the requirement to represent SIVs at order level. Now agency small business credit is driven by the status at the master contract level. It only updates during specific events like option exercises, novations, or mergers.
I wonder if that is just to save paperwork and time on the department or also on the contractor level. Interesting. What about 8A releases or that whole concept where it's like once an 8A, always an 8A?
Oh, yes. Something I've had many conversations with KOs about. So this is a big win for efficiency of the Department of War. Under 19.108-11, a requirement is now automatically released from the 8A program if the follow-on is going to be set aside for hub zone, service-disabled, veteran-owned, or women-owned small business. You no longer have to send a formal request to the SBA associate administrator for those cases. So it's not just a release from all small businesses, but you can get released immediately from the 8A if you're going to move to one of those other types.
Okay, that should speed up a lot of the follow-on acquisitions significantly.
KOs may also be less reluctant to go into the 8A program because that's always a conversation.
Now they know. Yeah.
Because they're like, okay, well, if it doesn't work out, we can maybe back out and still do another small business.
Sure. Ellie, before we wrap up, what happened to the clause at 52.219-32?
Deleted. It wasn't statutorily required or essential to sound procurement, so it was part of the RFO house cleaning.
Well, that certainly looks like a ton of changes there, Ellie.
They are. There's a lot of changes. So if you're starting to dive into FAR Part 19, you're about to do a small business contract, it's worth taking a look. Look and see what language has changed, what has been deleted, what has been moved to the FAR Companion or PGI. Because a lot of the information, again, has just been moved. So take a look, see what it says now. Some of the language has changed in areas in FAR Part 19. It's worth going through it, making sure that you're following everything that you need to be following, or maybe something has been deleted.
Or just call you.
Or just call me. Yeah. Please don't call me. I will always take your calls on the RFO.
Well, thanks for having me, Ellie.
All right, that's our time for today. Join us next time when we dive into more of the RFO. Thank you for joining us today in this episode of FAR and Beyond. Please make sure to follow us and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. The views expressed today are those of the presenters, not that of the Judge Advocate General's Corps, the Department of the Army, Department of the Air Force, or the Department of War.